B-Pod Studios.
Clock 97.5, the Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas filling in for the Mike Missanelli show. Mike will be back tomorrow, as will Tyrone and Natalie. Tyler Zuli producing the show. 4 o'clock hour brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaws-dropping outdoor paradise, online at landisbc.com. So, Tyler, I got to ask you something, because you are, like me, a very big baseball person, a big baseball fan. Today is an anniversary. Today, 9 years ago, the Phillies played 19 innings. And that Wilson Valdez earned the win on the mound. And nobody really remembers this part. Raul Baez hit a sacrifice fly. Jimmy Rollins scored. Phillies win. What was the final score? Like 5-4, I think. Let's see. I had it up earlier. Yep, Phillies won 5-4. And, like, that was, like, perfect, right? It was 2011. That was the year they went over 100 games. Now, they completely disappointed us in the playoffs, but that was the year they won over 100 games. So, it was like, wow, they are finding any way to win, including winning with Wilson Valdez pitching. So, yesterday, before the match started, and it's just so funny, because I roll my eyes at it. NBC Sports Philly, they air that 1993 High Hopes video as much as they can. I think they want to hit a certain quota. And I see that it's on. And I roll my eyes. And I go, oh my God, this thing's on again. And then whatever I'm watching goes to commercial. And I go, let me put it on. And then I find myself locked in on the High Hopes. Have you watched it in full?
Probably not from front to back, but really? I'm sure I've seen the whole, but by like the bits and pieces.
Yeah, every rain
I've
delay.
I've seen the whole, yeah, of course.
Every rain delay it plays.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, because I got to ask you, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Why, is there another team in this city, in this sports city's history that demands winners, that celebrates a World Series loser like the 93 team?
No.
It's amazing to me.
The closest one would be the 01 Sixers.
Yes.
And it's because of Allen Iverson capturing the city. And I actually got into this on Saturday with Josh. He brought up, I don't even know what we got to. I think I brought up the whole, hey, are some of these rising stars going to be the best players at their position moving forward? And then I started running off some names of the best players in the franchise history at specific positions. And I talked about right now, you know, we have some great players in this city. Great players. And for the most part, when you have great players, you have a chance to win if you have great players. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. You know, a lot of drama. People feel certain types of way. They are great players. Are they finished products? No. But are they great players with what they have so far? Yes. Bryce Harper. Great player. JT Realmuto, great player. You know, Konechny, Provorov, Hart, hopefully. You know, Hart, hopefully Hart just keeps on taking steps forward. Carson Wentz, my opinion, great player. Like, you have a lot of great players. The times where you don't have great players in getting to the championship, that's the crazy time. And in 01, you had a Hall of Famer in Allen Iverson, but you didn't have anyone else. You had a bunch of role players that helped out. In 93... did you have a single great player? You had Schilling, early Schilling, who was a very good pitcher. Probably still one of the best pitchers of all time in Phillies history. Right? You have Carlton. You know, you have some other really old pitchers, but Schilling is up there. Schilling is in the top five. Schilling may be number three. And then you had, I don't know, who was the best player on that team? Was it Dykstra? Darren Dalton, you know, rest his soul, Darren Dalton had a great year that year. But he had two very good years, and that was really it. That's why I believe JT Realmuto can one day be the greatest catcher of all time in Phillies franchise history. But when you look at that team, it was a bunch of like John Kruk had a great year, right? Darren Dalton had a great year. Mickey Morandini had a good year that year. You had like eight different shortstops play for you. until you bring in Reggie Stocker. You know, the outfielders were all over the place, but everybody chipped in, and the starting pitchers played well. Mitch Williams had a great year as a closer until his arm fell off toward the end. So you ask that question, is there a team that we celebrate any more than a loser? No, but it's because they didn't have, it wasn't a great team. They, quite frankly, they probably weren't even that good. You saw what happened the next year. I mean, the next year there was the strike, but they fell apart, that Phillies team. And I think that's why people love them, is because it was such a surprise. It was just, oh my God, I thought this team was going to finish in third place in the NL East. And look, they're in the World Series.
So, and I get baseball more than ever, you know, you can play a little bit longer, but 5 of the 8, quote, starters, right, on that team were 30 or older.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an old team.
Yeah, Kruk post
for sports
after
sake.
The Padres, right? So he'd been at the Padres for a few years.
Yeah, he was before. 32.
Dalton was
31.
Yes, yeah, so he was probably 8th or 9th year of his career before going to Florida. You said starters. I don't know. How old was Morandini at that point?
Morandini was 27. So it was okay. Those two. Milt Thompson was 34.
Yeah, and he was your starting left fielder.
Lenny Dykstra was 30. Yep. And Jim Eisenreich was 34 as well.
Yeah, see, I mean, they were just such a surprise. But to answer your question, I mean, it's because they were such a surprise and they didn't have a Hall of Famer. They didn't have a future Hall of Famer like Allen Iverson did, or like the Sixers did with Allen Iverson. And I want to try to find this poll that we put up. We actually sort of asked this question a while ago. The team that didn't win that we love the most. And we put up the Sixers in 01. We put the Phillies in 93. We put up the Flyers, I believe, in 87 when they lost to Edmonton. And then we put up the Eagles in 2004. So here you go. The Phillies got 31.6% of the vote. This was on April 13th. The Eagles got 30.2%. So the Eagles actually finished second, which is surprising. Like, did you, looking back at it, or not looking back at it, at the time you obviously loved the Eagles. When you think about it right now, do you love the 2004 Eagles right now?
I think the 2004 Eagles had a special place in my heart.
Yes.
But looking, I loved individual players. I don't know if I loved the team because I loved the run. But at that point, 2004 felt like an elation more than a love, because it was this team finally made it to
right,
the Super
you
Bowl.
You failed the first you know,
after
years.
4 years. So I think I probably would have loved the team a lot more had they'd have played in the Super Bowl in 2002 and even 2003.
Right.
2004 got to the point where it was just like this needed to happen eventually.
Yeah. I was surprised with how many votes the Eagles got, because when you do look back at it, I mean, people have a bad taste in their mouth about McNabb. And, you know, the McNabb TO situation is just so overplayed at this point. But yeah, I mean, you're right. There is no other team. The Phillies, the 93 Phillies will forever be loved. And, you know, that documentary or that High Hopes keeps on getting played. So we will keep on remembering just how much fun they were. And the shots that they would have after the game, right? They bring the camera in, they're all drinking beers and they're all getting drunk, and it was just awesome. You hear the stories, and guys like, you know, John Kruk is part of the NBC booth, you know, with McCarthy, so you still hear from him all the time. You know, that Phillies team, that 93 Phillies team, that's not going away anytime soon. Let's go to Matt in Runnymede. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Matt? Yeah, I got you.
Hey, what's going on? How you guys doing today?
I'm doing good, man. I'm hanging out. How you doing?
Doing pretty good, man. But I actually wanted to talk about a few things. And right as I called in, you mentioned Steph Curry with the golf thing.
Yeah.
And I was actually thinking about that yesterday. So I don't know when you guys started to talk about that. I don't know if this was mentioned yet. But, you know, I agree with the two professional golfers that were there yesterday. Like, you got to have Tiger and Phil.
Yeah.
But how awesome would it be to have the champion of the 2010s with a cigar in his mouth against the champion of the 1990s with a cigar in his mouth?
That'd be great.
Steph Curry and Michael Jordan.
Yeah, somebody tweeted that in, too. What I was trying to do, and Matt, we can do that, obviously. Like, I was just trying to stick with what they were doing – yesterday. Like Brady and Manning during the great heyday of that rivalry. I mean, that was a great rivalry, Manning with the Colts and obviously Brady with the Patriots. So I want to try to find two guys that
are in the same era.
Yeah, so like somebody tweeted in Jordan and Isaiah Thomas if Isaiah Thomas played golf, but what about Jordan and Charles Barkley? Two guys that played golf, but two guys that were also rivals when they were playing in the NBA. And you know, they don't have to actually play golf. We're just trying to have fun. So Tyler Zuli is producing the show. He said Clemens and Piazza because they were rivals in baseball, like those kinds of names. But you're right. I mean, that would be such a great time because. You have Jordan, who's a legend, and then you have Steph Curry, who a lot of people like right now, and they're also very good golfers. I mean, Steph Curry wins tournaments.
Right. And back to what you said with Jordan and Isaiah, I think there would be some flagrant fouls being called on that one there. There'd be some golf clubs being thrown.
Yeah, oh yeah, of course, for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
I would watch that. Yeah, they don't like each other. They still do not like each other, those two.
Right. It was funny watching the documentary and seeing Jordan watch the videos back and just sitting there laughing at everything that everybody's saying about him.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. Another thing, too, about just like this whole city in general with sports, you know, with the Sixers right now being the sixth seed. And like you were saying a couple minutes ago, we have the talent. We have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, in my opinion, two of the top 20 players in the NBA who just haven't developed yet. And I think the real question
is... time. Right, I mean, Ben's 23 and Embiid's 26. Like, this, you know...
The right pieces around them, even? Like, I believe, you know, especially with the contracts that Tobias Harris is under and Al Horford's under, you know... If you're going to move one of those guys, just say hypothetically for like a Devin Booker type player, you're going to have to move another guy that this city doesn't want to move, like a Matisse Thybulle or a Shake Milton or both of those guys.
Yeah, but the Suns are not going to take Horford or Harris plus Thybulle for Devin Booker. They wouldn't take Ben Simmons for Devin Booker right now.
You're absolutely right. I've even seen some rumors with Buddy Hield. I think he's coming off the bench now for Sacramento.
Yep.
But you know, it's all about fit, you know, and camaraderie. Like that 2008 Phillies team, they may not have even been the most talented team in the world, but you know, they just looked like they had fun every single day.
Offensively, and the bullpen was good. It was the starting pitching that was the question mark, right? You went Hamels and you had Hamels, which is good. But then you had Myers, Moyer, Blanton in the playoffs. Yeah,
yeah, and then the bullpen was like lights out.
Oh yeah, you had the Bridge Lidge with Ryan Madsen, and then you had Brad Lidge, who was perfect that year. Matt, I appreciate the call. I mean. The 08 Phillies were a very talented group. It was the starting pitchers where you go, wow. When you look back at it, right, you look at the Pro Baseball Reference and you go, damn, how did they win the World Series? How did they win? But they also put up crooked numbers. They scored a lot. The World Series was when, you know, we remember Game 3, Jamie Moyer. It was, you know, Jamie Moyer saved the day the way he pitched that night until Carlos Ruiz hit the chopper for Eric Brolin to score in the ninth. You look at Game 4, Joe Blanton, the Phillies scored 10 runs, and he hit the home run, but Joe Blanton pitched very well in 6 innings. And then Hamels wins World Series MVP because of his 2 great outings. But they're talented. And the Buddy Hield thing, Buddy Hield, he's on the final year of his deal. So that wouldn't even be a trade. That would be a, you could just sign him. But I don't know. We'll see. Does Buddy Hield start? Does he come off the bench? I don't know. The Sixers still have to figure out that 2-guard spot because, you know, they've gone the Furkan Korkmaz route. They've tried it with Thybulle. They've tried all kinds of stuff. They tried it. You know, they've won a bunch of options. So I don't know. Do you bring in another star? But it all comes back to money, and Buddy Hield might get paid. I don't know. We'll see. Let's go to Jeff in Camden. Jeff, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Andrew? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. I can't believe you're in the studio on Memorial Day, man. What a soldier. My God.
I'm not a soldier, man. Trust me. I live down the street. I come in. I do my show. I enjoy it. I get to talk to you. It's a good day.
Hey, you going to do any, you got any cookouts planned today? You know, we're cooking out here, man, cooking out in the yard. Not a lot of people still practicing the social distancing.
Yeah,
but,
practice the social distancing. Now I'm gonna get home. I'm going to grill for my wife who's at the house. You know, she's working. When she gets home, she'll have a nice cooked meal for her.
Nice, and later on, she'll probably have a nice cooked meal for you.
All right.
Yeah, buddy. So baseball-wise, man, it's going to be so weird without fans, huh?
I don't really care.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be like a tree falling into the forest when a home run gets hit.
Yeah, no.
It's going to be weird.
Have you watched the Korean Baseball League yet?
I have not.
Well, give it a watch. I mean, it's at 5 in the morning during the week, but,
you know,
check it out, and there's no fans there, and it's still baseball. They hit a home run, nobody catches it. That's fine. It's, you know, they're still playing the sport.
Yeah, I was playing Mobile Madden, and believe it or not, on Mobile Madden, there's no fans.
That was back in
February. There was no fans, and I was like, what is going on? So I progressed through the season, each game, and still no fans. I get to the Super Bowl, still no fans. And I'm like, man, is this like a prediction of days to come? Is this what's going to happen?
Did you win? Is all I care about right now.
I won the Super Bowl, of course.
Good.
They gave me a little trouble in the conference with Russell Wilson. Gave me a trouble in the conference finals, but I went on and destroyed in the Super Bowl.
Who'd you play as? The Eagles?
Sorry to say, I did not.
Now, who'd you play as?
The Rams, man.
Oh, you're Rams. A Rams fan. I forgot. Sorry.
Rams first, Eagles, you know, right there with them. There's no next. I love my Eagles. So, it's Rams and Eagles or skate or die. Remember that skate or die game from back in the day?
Yes. Wait, yeah. So if the Rams and Eagles go head-to-head, though, you said you love your Eagles. I guess you go Rams, though, right? You root for them?
I'd probably put a blindfold on and earplugs in and wait for the results at the end. That's probably what happens.
All right. Enjoy your cookout, all right, Jeff?
All right, you too.
Tell everyone I said hi. There's Jeff. Jeff got mad at me on Saturday.
Oh, what'd you do?
So, again, we were all over the place Saturday. And I was talking about, like, the random jerseys that I had as a kid. Because, you know, bless my mom. She always wanted to make me happy. But, you know, we never believed in spending money on clothes or shoes. I had all knockoff stuff, you know, and I was very fortunate growing up, right? Like I had a happy household. I had, you know, I was blessed. I had a good upbringing. But when it came to clothes and shoes, it was, yeah, we're going to clearance rack. So a lot of my Eagles jerseys were after the player left because my mom didn't know better. She said, I got you a surprise. And then it would be like $15 because it was a Broderick Bunkley jersey that had a different number on it because he got his number changed. But one year she got me Kevin Curtis with, you know, it was after he was gone. But Jeff was angry because I was kind of like, I wasn't very honored to have the Kevin Curtis jersey. But Kevin Curtis actually holds the second most yards in a single game for an Eagle. And it was when they wore the blue in
the Detroit game, right?
Yes, it was when they wore the weird jerseys.
I'm pretty sure me and you probably could have broke that record
probably.
That day. Detroit was awful.
So Jeff said I needed to be more appreciative of my mom's taste in jerseys because Kevin Curtis is second for most yards in a game by an Eagle. Receiving yards.
In a game.
Yes.
One game.
Yes. He's actually 17th in a season for most receiving yards by an Eagle, which is very sad. He had 1,100 yards. Think of all the 1,000-yard receivers that are out there. That's how bad the Eagles have been with bringing in receivers and drafting receivers. Kevin Curtis is in, you know, he's not top 10. He's 17th with 1,100 yards. But man, you had rookies getting over 1,000 yards receiving last year. And the Eagles can't do it. Kevin Curtis is near the top, which is just outrageous. So, you know, whatever. 610-632-0975. The beginning of that call.
It's 44th all time in Eagles receiving yards, too.
That's too high. That's
about
what I'm saying. That's
1,000 spots too high.
That's what I'm saying. That's too high that Kevin Curtis is up there. It's way too high. It just tells you.
You want to hear some numbers? I know this is totally off track. You want to hear some names that he's above?
Yeah. Oh, I love hearing names. Yes.
All right. He's above, and I know a couple running backs, but you would think Darren Sproles would have had more. This, right?
All right, so this is all-purpose yards?
No, this is receiving yards.
Okay.
Receiving yards only. But you would think Darren Sproles would have more.
Third down linebacker. Yeah.
How about Freddie Mitchell?
Well, that just paints the picture of how bad they are at drafting. Like, I'm not surprised that he has more than Freddie Mitchell, because Freddie Mitchell was awful and stunk. Like, he was just terrible. But it tells you how bad they were at drafting, because they took him in the first round.
Less than Herschel Walker and Ricky Waters as well. Again, running backs, but...
Yeah.
This is a bad list, man.
It's a terrible list.
The top's okay. Harold Carmichael's real,
well, yeah, he's
real,
whole,
good, real good receiver. Team.
But there are some teams that probably have more, you know, like six guys on one team that are more than Harold Carmichael. That's probably a stretch. All right, so how many yards is Harold Carmichael number one?
Yes.
How many does he have?
8,978.
8,978. Yep. NFL all-time receiving leaders. I'm going to see how many teams have, like, the same guy. 8,000, you said?
Yep. Wait, little short of 8,800. Little short of 9,000, excuse me.
All right. A little short of 9,000. Where is he at? So Harold Carmichael. This is where it's bad, Tyler. Harold Carmichael is the all-time leading receiver in Eagles franchise history with 8,985 yards, pretty much 99% of that with the Eagles, and then he had like a couple games with the Cowboys.
Yep.
He is 62nd all-time in the NFL. 62nd. Now, the NFL has changed, right? But like, the first name I see who is 54th is Amani Toomer. And Harold Carmichael's the best receiver all time in the Eagles. That's how bad the Eagles are when it comes to drafting and developing wide receivers. I'm going to go through names coming up, Tyler, because like, he was a good player, but Vincent Jackson had more than Hall of Famer Harold Carmichael. That tells you how bad the Eagles are at drafting and developing wide receivers. And Harold Carmichael played from the 70s into the 80s, damn it. All right. Take a quick break and look at some of these. Eric Molds. Oh, my God. All right. Quick break. We're going to go through some of these names. It's just an embarrassment. Paints a picture of how bad it is for the Eagles. I'm Andrew Salchunas, 10 until 6, filling in for Mike Mizanelli right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.430, 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew Salchunas filling in for Mike Mussinelli. This song makes me feel a little bit better. Now, I'm doing a show about positivity, but damn it, I hate the Eagles wide receiver selections. I just hate it. All right, hold on. But before I go off on a tangent, let's update the Twitter poll, because I'm supposed to be thinking positively today. We all are. You know? Poll of the day. It's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Tyler, what do we got?
Yeah, you gotta be a little bit more happy, especially with the results of this poll that are about to come up. Question is, take a step back and look at the Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, and Eagles. When you look at the state of the teams in Philadelphia right now, is your outlook more positive or negative? Just under 600 votes on this one. Positive, 81%. Negative, 19%.
Oh, good.
You're looking pretty good.
Yeah, because there are more positives than negatives right now at this team. That's how I look at it. Way more. But... you know, this is now making me angry. So, we brought up Kevin Curtis and how he's, what, 44th in Eagles franchise history in receiving yards. And then we talked about Harold Carmichael. So, Harold Carmichael is first all-time in Eagles. I'm not taking anything away from Harold Carmichael. you have to consider, all right, the league has changed. It's more I mean, 1971 and 1984 is when he played. They weren't throwing the ball to the level they're throwing the ball now. But with that being said, I go, damn, you mean to tell me that there isn't an Eagles receiver in the modern era that has surpassed him? Now, DeSean Jackson does have over 10,000 yards receiving, but he's done that with a couple of teams, right? Did it with the Eagles, did it with the Redskins, did it with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So it's not just with the Eagles. How many does he have?
6,276. So he's still a good 2,700 behind.
And he could have obviously, you know, gotten a little closer if he didn't play only two games last year. But so you have Harold Carmichael, and this is Eagles and Cowboys, but a very, very limited amount of time with the Cowboys. So it's over the entire career. It's not just one team. But then after that, after the Deshaun Jackson thing, I mean, this is just terrible. All right, you ready for this, Tyler? Let me go. I already gave you Amani Toomer and Vincent Jackson. Marcus Colston. Now, Marcus Colston, good player.
It's a Hofstra receiver.
Good player. He's 53rd. Demaryius Thomas, who was a guy that fell off, right? Like, he was, before Peyton got there, was a good receiver. Peyton gets there, he's an incredible receiver, and then he just dropped off. Wes Welker is above Harold Carmichael.
Now, Welker doesn't surprise me as much.
No?
I don't think so because, again, you mentioned the era that they play in, and obviously it's a much more pass-happy league. And Welker caught a lot of passes from Tom Brady over the years. I think that doesn't surprise me as much.
Okay, what about Eric Moulds?
Surprises me.
Eric Moulds is 9,995, majority with the Bills, right? He was more.
Yeah. He had a nice career.
Yeah,
he was not a Hall of Famer.
No, not a Hall of Famer. Let's see what else we got. Like, there's some obvious ones, and man, not even Randy Moss, Santana Moss. But again, it's the difference in the league, right? So like Santana Moss played in a more pass happy league. He had a good career. He had over 10,000 yards receiving. Roddy White makes sense. Roddy White was very good before Julio Jones got there. Obviously, became the number two receiver with Julio Jones, but was a good receiver. But then he got like Joey Galloway, like, you know. Buccaneers, right? Buccaneers was he played like the later part of his career. Started with Seattle, played with the Cowboys a little bit. You go to the top, you have Jerry Rice, you have Larry Fitzgerald, Terrell Owens, Randy Moss. But what I'm trying to make the point is like, damn, you don't have, after Deshaun Jackson, you don't have anyone in the top 40. And there are names, Kenan McCardell is 34th. 34th.
I would love to know if you look at each team's highest ranking receiver in terms of how many yards they got with that particular team.
Right.
How many teams have a leading receiver with less than Harold Carmichael? It can't be more than five or six.
Right. So it'd have to be one team. Right? Are you doing one team or are you doing...
With that particular team. So, right. Like, Andre Johnson's numbers with Hughes are just with Houston.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, we should look. We'll look into that. Yeah, because I like a guy like Steve Smith, right? Majority with Carolina, but he continued to play. It shows how bad the Eagles have been at drafting and developing wide receivers. And you look at some of these names and it's like, damn, like you're not even in the top 40. And I'm not saying anything about Harold Carmichael. I'm just saying, like, you know, with the pass happy league, you think about it. But then you're not that shocked, right? You think about it. You're in the early 2000s. You had T.O. for 1 year. But, you know, you had the Todd Pinkston, James Thrash, Freddie Mitchell. You did have DeSean Jackson. But, you know, I liked Macklin. I did. You know, he ends up leaving. You know, he's got hurt here. But you never had these incredible receivers. You had T.O. and DeSean Jackson. Since 2000, you had Terrell Owens and DeSean Jackson. It's been 20 years. 20 years. And you had T.O. for a cup of coffee. and DeSean Jackson. That's it. Like, Jeremy Maclin was a good receiver. I liked Jeremy Maclin. But Jeremy Macklin's nowhere near DeSean Jackson or Terrell Owens. Jordan Matthews put up numbers. He's nowhere near those guys. So hopefully Jalen Reagor can put together a decent career. Now you've had Zach Ertz, right? You've had Zach Ertz, who has gained a lot of receiving yards. And I wonder where Zach Ertz is on this list as of right now. Nah, he's 216th. He's still far away.
It's top 10 in Eagles history, though.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think in his particular case, it's a good thing.
Oh, for him, yeah. Credit to him. But man, the Eagles, it's just, you just look at it and you go, damn, this team. And they've won a Super Bowl, which is the crazy part, right? They won a Super Bowl with Alshon Jeffrey, who you didn't have to start with, right? He comes here from Chicago. You had Torrey Smith on the very end of his career coming from Baltimore. You know, it's they can't get a start. You know, the Phillies can't get a starting pitcher.
You need some more of this.
I do. It makes me feel a little bit better. Thank you. It's the same story, and it never changes. I had Tasty Cake Dom. Great caller. We all know Tasty Cake Dom. Heard him on the station. He called in on Saturday, Tyler, and I was talking about, you know, players who could be the best at their position. I didn't even mention Aaron Nola. I don't think a pitcher's going to be able to get to Steve Carlton or Robin Roberts. But, like, you know, I didn't even mention Aaron Nola. He said in, like, two or three years, not even when it's all said and done, Aaron Nola can be considered a top five starter in Phillies franchise history. And I'm like, no, that's too crazy. And then I looked at the win totals. He could be there soon.
Yeah, the win totals aren't very high. I mean, it's Schilling and Carlton, and then I
and
guess
Roberts.
And Roberts, right? And yeah. Then would it be Bunning after that?
Yeah, hold on. Let me.
And you're going back almost 70 years now.
That's how bad. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's the same damn story year in and year out. It's the Eagles can't get a good wide receiver. The Phillies can't get a starting pitcher. The Flyers can't get a goaltender. Hopefully, you know, Carter Hart's that guy. Hopefully he clears that. But, you know, I'm trying to come in with positivity. Here's your wins. Steve Carlton, 241. And this is just with the Phillies because he had over 300 wins in his career. But just with the Phillies. Steve Carlton, 241. Robin Roberts, 234. Pete Alexander, who pitched in the... He started his career in 1911.
Yeah, Grover Cleveland Alexander.
Yeah, so he had... 190 wins. Chris Short, 132. Kurt Simmons, 115. Cole Hamels at 114. Cole Hamels, we consider as one of the top five Philly starting pitchers of all time. That's how bad they are. He only has 114 wins. Schilling only has 101 in a Phillies uniform. And then Al Orth, Charlie Ferguson, and Jack Taylor. I'm sure they were also like 20s. Oh, yeah, sorry. Al Orth made his debut in 1895.
Yeah, you were around for that one, right?
Now think about that.
You remember that game?
Now, think about that for a second. Even in 1895, when pitchers threw like 9 innings a day, 5 days a week, my man, Al Orth, only put together 100 wins. Al Orth played, let's see how many years with the Phillies. He played 7 years with the Phillies. He went 172. Aaron Nola, let's see how many wins he has now. He's got to be close to the 50s now, right? Aaron Nola has 53 wins in his career. He's 53 and 35, and I'm sure the majority of those losses were like 2-1 ball games because the Phillies couldn't hit when he first came up. But yeah, in a couple years, Dom was right. Let's say he wins... minimum 10 games the next 3 years. That's 30 more wins. That puts him at 83. Still not cracking the top 10, but that puts him at 83 wins at the age of 29. And that's 10 wins. Let's say he's winning 15 over the next 3 years. You're at 45 more wins. That's cracking you in the top 10. That's kind of depressing.
Well, and that's not that doesn't only speak to the sad state of Philly's pitching throughout the history of the franchise. That also speaks to me about the super unlikelihood of any pitcher ever again winning 300 games.
Yes.
Like, I've almost gotten to the point where I truly believe that the next pitcher to win 300 games, if anyone ever does it again, might be a reliever. Because they might win enough games, you know, in that come into a tie ball game, win the game type situation. Yeah. Like, that's how little faith I have in a starter to win 300 games.
How many wins does Scherzer have in his career right now?
I don't know if he's reached 200 yet.
Oh, man, he's only at 170.
Yeah, I didn't think he did. Verlander might have the most active.
Yeah, he's in the 200s. Like, I don't know. I think of DeGrom, but he got crushed by the Mets. Like, the year that he won the Cy Young, he went 10-9.
He had, like, you know, but a 2.1 ERA or something.
1.70.
Like, was it under 2?
Yeah. And it's like, oh my God. It is crazy. And that's why I always say don't judge a pitcher based off win loss. Because I'll go look at Jacob DeGrom when he went 10-9.
Felix Hernandez did the same thing.
He won a Cy Young with a below 500 record.
I mean, right now there are three active pitchers with over 200 wins, and one is 47 years old. It's Bartolo Colon, who doesn't have a team.
Yeah.
No, actually not. So it's Verlander at 225, and then Zach Greinke has 205.
Greinke's put together a great career. All right, well, we'll try to get back to the positive nature. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew South. Just take it to 6 right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Yeah, I could use one. That could calm me down. Pina colada. You know, when I went on my honeymoon, that was the first time I ever had a pina colada.
Really?
I mean, I don't know. Is that something you order at a bar?
Not at a bar, no. I don't know if you've ever gotten on vacation.
I've never done a tropical vacation. So when I went on my honeymoon, that was the first time I went anywhere tropical.
So kind of on the same lines, right? Me and the fiance, she was my girlfriend at the time, went down to, I think, Atlantic City a few years back.
Okay.
And we went to a bar and we're like, we're on the beach. We want to get a beach type drink, oh, right? Yeah. All that kind of stuff,
beach
of course.
Bar, yeah.
And I went to get a banana daiquiri. I've always wanted to try one. Never had one before. Sounded really good. So I ordered one. Girl comes back, goes, yeah, we're out of bananas.
How?
And I said, you're a beach bar. How are you out of bananas?
Yeah, every single drink has a banana.
But anyway, so I didn't get my drink. I left because I was angry, you know. So,
and you were going to spend like $18.
Right, I was
going
to spend
a ton
of money on that drink anyway. Yeah. So when we went to Disney the next summer, I made sure that when we did we went to a Cuban restaurant.
Okay.
And I knew that they had a bunch of those kind of drinks.
Is that Epcot?
No, it's actually, it was in the Disney Springs part. So okay. I made sure that I got my banana daiquiri. So it lived up to the hype. So if you're looking for something good, that's a good one.
All right. Yeah. I probably won't get one. I got to be in a certain spot. Like, you know, that was, you know, I'm an easy Pilsner beer guy. I'll dive into the occasional IPA. I'm not really a big cocktail guy unless I'm drinking like vodka late at night or something. But yeah, the pina colada, it was delicious. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, it was the first time I had it. Oh man, I could go for one though right now. I'm so angry. I look at these numbers, and I look at where, like, it's crazy how historic. Like, I would rather have historic bad receivers and historic bad quarterbacks, because at least when you have a good quarterback, a franchise quarterback, you feel like, okay, my team can win. like, say what you want about Pinkston, Thrash, Mitchell, Greg Lewis, and the 1.5 years of T.O., the Eagles still got to the Super Bowl, still got to the NFC Championship game 4 years in a row. Like, they still did it. They still won. If you don't have Donovan McNabb and you have those receivers, then you're definitely not winning. So I'd rather, I don't want to be the Cleveland Browns and have bad quarterback after bad quarterback after bad quarterback. But it would be nice to have, you know, a good receiver here and there. Not Harold Carmichael in the 70s and then DeSean Jackson 30 years later in the early 2000s. 40 years later. It's just crazy. And it's so bad. And that's like, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of another team. Like Cleveland, obviously the Browns with their time after time terrible receivers. Or quarterback, excuse me. Basketball, you can't. It's not like, oh, we have a bad center all the time. Like, now, it's too hard to do basketball. Hockey, goaltender's the biggest thing, right? And the Flyers had just never had a good goaltender since Hextall. They had the year here and there. But they didn't. You know, now they have Carter Hart. We hope nothing but the best for Carter Hart. But, man, the Phillies? Starting pitching? That bad? I mean, Aaron Nola's going to be in the top 10 in like 3 years. Top 10 all-time wins in 3 years at the age of 29. That's how bad it's been. Same with outfielders. We love Pat Burrell, right? Because he won the World Series. It was on the team when they won the World Series. Look at Pat Burrell's numbers. You go, oh my God, that was a first-round pick. But he is still leaps and bounds better than 90% of the other outfielders that the Phillies have brought in. And, you know, you have like Adam Haseley. It's like, all right, we'll see. Yeah, I think he's gonna be okay. I don't think Adam, like, you know, if he's a everyday center fielder who bats eighth, like, okay. I kind of want some pop, but whatever. What are you gonna do? Like, man, it's just like, when's the last time they've developed a legit outfielder? Is the Bull? Right? Like, Before Burrell,
I mean,
Lozinski?
As
developed.
Yeah, there's one that comes to mind, but the career here ended very tumultuously.
Who?
I mean, Odubel Herrera was that guy.
Yeah, but
got him out of nothing. But you don't speak about him because he's a terrible human being. He's a terrible human being.
I also hated him as a baseball player.
Oh, me too. He was so incredibly clueless out there.
He was erratic.
But he was a great athlete.
Yeah. But, you know, did that make him a good player?
No. And I think, you know,
he almost blew Cole Hamels' no-hitter, and it was a normal fly ball.
We're never going to talk highly of him, you know, his playing career, because he's a terrible person.
No, the only time I ever spoke highly of him was against Max Scherzer. For some reason, he owned Max Scherzer. And that was it. Other than that, Odubel Herrera sucked.
He just went up there and swung.
I hated him. I hated him. I hate him as a human being. He's a scumbag. But I hate him as a baseball player, too. And, you know, I was watching. What was I watching? Oh, God. They were airing. I'm trying to think what year they must have been, because I didn't look at the info. But NBC Sports aired a Phillies game yesterday. I think they started around noon. And it was a Pete McCann game. So he was still manager. So this must have been latest 2017, because Kapler was 18-19. And Tommy Joseph was the first baseman. I think Andres Blanco he came off the bench that game. But Odubel Herrera, he was on second base, and somebody hit a ground ball, and he read it well, right? It was a ground ball to Freddie Freeman was playing freaking third base for the Braves. Yeah. They had, who's the big left-handed batter? Matt Adams, right? Was that his name?
Okay.
He was playing first base, and Freddie Freeman was playing third. And Odubel read the play, ran to third after Freeman threw to first. He's safe at third. And they start talking about, and she, like, Schmitty was on the call, and they were talking about how
great. That was a Sunday afternoon game.
Yes. Great heads-up play by Herrera, right? But then they mention, yeah, you know, he might be back in Pete McCann's good graces after he got benched 2 games ago for doing something, for not running out a ball or whatever. It's like, dude, like, that was his career. It was just pissing you off, showing flashes. Remember, he'd get hot. Also, his batting average is 340, and then it's back down to 240. But he's also a scumbag, so I hate him. All right, we got 1 hour left coming up. 5 o'clock hour coming up. 610-632-0975. We kind of went off topic because of all this nonsense with just how bad Philly's pitching and outfielders have been, how bad Eagles wide receivers have been. But that's the past. I want to look now in the near future. And to me, I sit back, I look at the Phillies, I look at the Flyers, I look at the Eagles, and I look at the Sixers. And to me, I have a positive outlook for all four teams. To me, I think this is going to be a great decade in Philadelphia sports. To me, there are still areas where they need to improve, obviously, because none of them are champions right now. Flyers are the closest. But Sixers, talent-wise, they can be there. Eagles have the quarterback. And the Phillies, they're furthest away, but I don't think it's like 6 years away. I think it's like two or three. So we got open line, 610-632-0975. 5 o'clock hour coming up. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Mike Missinelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.